Hello and welcome to the next episode of How to Cry Monster. I am your host, Neil Nestor. And with me today, we have our lovely co-host, Jules.
Hi.
It's me. Our lovely sound guy, Joe.
What's up? I'm here. I'm not missing.
We're lovely.
And today,
what are we discussing?
We will be talking about the missing 411.
Okay. I can't whistle.
I harmonized with you.
I harmonized too.
So, yes. Tell me everything, Jules.
So I want
to know it all.
I'm going to give it to you.
Please.
Yes. Missing 411 is usually a term that's used to describe a series of unexplained disappearances in national parks and other wilderness areas, cave systems, even roadways. While the circumstances of each case can vary, there are quite a few profile points that seem to be common amongst all the cases. For one thing, they always happen to be in clusters, with clusters being the number of cases in a singular area, and there happens to be about 52 of them spread out across the U.S. and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, they happen near constantly in national parks.
Well, of course.
Yeah. Really weird, honestly, with the amount of search and rescue workers that patrol and go around.
Mm-hmm.
But like the wilderness is a scary thing. Mm-hmm. Three, elevation changes. And there's a story that goes with that, but we'll talk about that in a second. Changes in elevation being like when you start at a base and you end up at the top, or you start at the top and you're somehow way below. And that'll lead into another point later on.
Mm-hmm.
Bodies of water. There happens to be quite a few that have happened around bodies of water,
mm-hmm.
or just weird circumstances near bodies of water.
Yes.
It happens near berry shrubs and also boulder fields, usually granite.
That's interesting.
Specifically granite? Yeah. I don't know why. I wouldn't take it for granted. There also happens to be quite a few that have to do with memory loss. People won't remember how or why they're there.
Okay.
Then
they got brain fog.
Yeah, brain fog.
So instead of walking into the kitchen and forgetting why you're there, you just walk into a national park and forget why you're there?
The time of disappearance to the time you're found, you won't know how you got there.
Oh, I see.
You'll be, like, up a tree, or you'll be, like, 5 miles away, and you'll be like, I don't know.
Now, you see, let me tell you something. My parents would chalk that up to being like people under the influence, being like,
"Oh, I don't know how I got."
Some of these are children,
which is another point.
Under the children influence.
Under the child influence. There's also missing clothing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you'll have missing clothing, and this is called paradoxical undressing. And paradoxical undressing is the phenomenon that can occur in cases of severe hypothermia, where a person becomes disoriented, confused, and delirious due to the extreme cold,
mm-hmm.
or just confusion. It's where their body temperature drops and they begin to feel warm and remove their clothing despite being in a potentially life-threatening situation. It's paradoxical because it seems counterintuitive for someone to be removing their clothes when they are cold and need warmth. However, the internal thermostat is confused, and so their body vessels will dilate, causing a rush of warm blood, causing the sensation of warmth.
I've actually never heard of that before.
Yeah. How taking off the clothes can accelerate hypothermia and be fatal.
Well, of course.
Unfortunately.
But the fact that there's a paradoxical aspect to it that tricks the mind into thinking that they need to take off the clothes.
Yeah.
I mean, I can name a number of reasons people take off their clothes out there in the woods.
Yeah.
But I never thought that was a reason.
You know, that's the weirdest part, though, about that?
What?
Is usually this paradoxical unclothing happens in situations where there was no changes in temperature. There was no high temperature and sometimes no low temperature.
Interesting.
So it's just like neutral, semi-mild temperature. And it's really paradoxical because there's no reason for it's absolutely no reason for why they would be feeling the need to take off their clothes, or why in some cases their clothes are on their body when the rest aren't.
You think it could be kind of like I would chalk it up to like a primal thing.
There's a couple theories I have. But some more profile points is that it also occurs in swamplands.
Okay.
Florida is a big, big area. full of swamplands where people have gone missing. Mm-hmm. Another point is impossible distances. Distances that couldn't have been reached or have been done in the time that the person went missing. There's a couple of cases of that as well.
I'm gathering that a lot of these, so far you've listed almost every biome. I mean, like, you can
not
go
every biome.
You could go missing. I'm sure there's plenty of missing 411s in, like, the rainforest. Like, we all know why that would be.
No.
Why wouldn't there be?
No, I mean, there's not that many people that go missing. I mean, there's quite a few people, but not compared to the national parks that aren't rainforests.
It's probably because no one in their right mind who isn't from the rainforest would go into the rainforest.
Rainforests are notoriously hard to navigate, and forests, as we know them in the United States, really are. You can walk most forests in the United States, whereas you can't really walk most rainforests. There's very few in the United States, but most of them are in South America or Africa.
So the reason people don't get particularly lost is because they don't go there.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. But also, most national parks have paths. They have camping sites that are specific for people to stay in. People will go off the beaten path, but a lot of these stories are of people that were on the path, that were hiking a trail, that were specifically navigating. And that goes to the last point is a lot of the people have the knowledge and the skills to presumably survive most situations.
Mm. Including the children?
Some of them were campers.
Like Boy Scouts?
Boy Scouts. People that have been trained and had the knowledge and had taken the test to get the badges and had gone camping multiple times.
Now, if you can answer this question, it's okay if you can't. But, like, do you have like, an age range for, like, these kids?
I do not, because
they just kind of said, oh, they're children that went out there, but they didn't say, like, whether or not they were, like, teenagers or...
It's from 2 to, like, 50. There's a big range. There's, like... I don't know quite where it ends.
Honey, your 50-year-old got out.
Yeah. No, but there's been, like, older, like, adults that have gone missing. That are, like, Bear Grylls style, like, they know their stuff, and they just went missing.
Bear Grylls Uncharted.
And then there's, so in the case of elevation change,
right.
There's the case of Bobby Bissom. He was camping with his scout troop at the base of a mountain, he went missing. He was, I believe he was fishing.
Hmm.
He had his fishing pole. And they told everyone to come back. And the counselor who last saw him was like, hey, come on back. And he saw him. He goes, all right, I'll be right there. I'll just go and finish putting everything together. I'll be right down. And the counselor, that was the last time the counselor saw him. He went down like a mile to the encampment. And when everyone was like, where's Bobby? He turned around. He was like, Bobby, where you at? And then they went looking for Bobby, and they eventually found him. But they found only his hearing aids. They found only his clothes and parts of his skeleton several miles up the mountain, like 13 or so miles up the mountain.
The hell?
I don't have a time frame, but there was no way he could have done that without, like, help.
Mm-hmm.
There's no way he would have been able to, like, climb a mountain as a child.
Mm-hmm.
Even if he had the knowledge to survive at the base, that's nothing to prepare you for a climb up the mountain.
I mean, as a scout troop leader, would you really leave someone under, like, 14 out there?
They looked for him. They looked for him, and he couldn't find him the first pass.
I know you said you don't have an exact time frame, so you don't know, like, when they found him versus when they lost him. Okay, let's say hypothetically that the skeletal remains were more of a recent thing.
Yeah.
So this would imply that he was preyed upon by something.
Well, so a couple people that had spoken about it when I looked at the story. A couple people have also mentioned, it's funny you mentioned preyed upon, because the camp counselors also seemed to be abusers.
Oh.
So that might also be a reason.
You see, I was going to say something, but I didn't want to play into that stereotype with the Boy Scouts?
It turned out that the camp, several of the camp counselors had abused him, and one of the last people that saw him was one of the abusers.
Mm.
They found this after the fact, so I don't know exactly what happened, but the weird fact is that everyone was there at one point, but also in the time frame that he had gone missing, nobody could have really gone up there, even an adult, to drop him off, so to speak.
Right.
To come back down. That's a long time. That's a big walk. Even if you're running, even if you have like an ATM or something, 13 miles, that's quite a bit.
It would had to have been the...
Up a mountain.
It would had to have been the counselor said that he, told him, you know?
Yeah.
Hey,
walk up 13 miles and stay there for a second.
Like, the 13 miles, though, that I feel like was a product of nature. I think Bobby was probably killed. Now, again, this is all purely theoretical. He could have been killed by the counselor, and then nature took its course, and let's say a bear or, depending on where they were, a mountain lion found him and then dragged him. So I think that what happened was the counselor, if, again, theoretical, don't want to just outright accuse people, but now that we know he was an abuser, you know, I wouldn't be too surprised if he decided to, knock off Bobby so that he couldn't be, tried, or if Bobby was going to talk or something. And then nature, you know, took its course, a bear or a mountain lion of some kind, or maybe another creature, you know, dragged his body out to where its den was, and they fed, you know. Wolves don't really drag. Wolves kind of just, eat where it is. So my guess is that it could have been a mountain lion, or in other words, a jaguar or a cougar. They definitely will drag their prey. Bears, I'm not too sure about. I don't know that much about bears. However, I think that case seems to be a little less of a mystery, but that's, I'm sure, the most mild out of the things that you are going to tell me.
It is. Okay, I'm gonna tell you what I do have for now.
I do have a story too. I don't know if you'll get to the same one, but so, I do have a story too.
So the three that I have, very quickly, I have one that's Dennis Martin. Oh. He was a 6-year-old boy who disappeared on June 14th, 1969, in the Great Smoky Mountain National Park in Tennessee. He was playing hide and seek with his brother and friends when he played too well and he vanished. And despite an extensive search of over 1,400 people, Dennis was never found, and his disappearance remains a mystery to this day.
That's sad.
Yep. Then there's Jared. I'm just going to spell the name because I don't want to pronounce it wrong. Jared, N-E-G-R-E-T-E.
Oh.
Jared N.
Jared N. Yep. That's how you spell his name. You can write it down and figure it out yourself. He was a 12-year-old boy who went missing on August 11th, 1991, while on a camping trip with his family in at the San Bernardino Mountains in California. He was last seen playing with his brother and friends near a creek after an extensive search. No trace of him was ever found. Then there was Stacy Ann Aris.
Oh, okay. So nature isn't sexist. They're just not all taking all the boys.
She was a 53-year-old experienced hiker who went missing on August 5th, 2018, while hiking alone in the Trinity Alps Wilderness in California. She was last seen by other hikers near a lake. Despite an extensive search, including search and rescue teams and helicopters, she was never found. Her backpack and hiking poles were later discovered near the lake, but there was no sign of foul play or animal attacks.
That's interesting.
So you talk about yours, did I speak of it?
No.
Okay.
Mine involves something probably very spooky. So there was a missing 411 case, where search and rescue were told not to say anything about this. So this was something that was in a video that I watched recently, and I think this one is probably the most unsettling. So they were looking for a boy that went missing, like, I don't know how long ago, whether it was like the same day or if it was like a day or two, like prior. I don't remember what forest. I think that's confidential. So search and rescue was looking for the boy. And when they were, like, you know, traipsing the forest, they eventually found traces of him. And they realized that there's this one specific tree, like really big tree, absurdly huge tree, mind you. Mm. And so, to my knowledge, by the way, this tree had like no foreseeable branches that could have given him like a good climb, like to start on. Like they were like too high, if you know what I mean.
Mm-hmm.
So they found him up there. Or what was left of him, I should say.
What the heck?
He was complete. It was almost like he melted on top of the tree.
Like he melted on top of the tree?
I'm talking, like organs strewn about, parts of him everywhere. It just seemed very odd, obviously. For what it was, the search and rescue officer who told this story said that his job would be on the line, so he waited till he retired to share his story. Now, he made sure not to mention any names and not to mention the place where this was, since out of respect and confidentiality to his peers and whoever was involved, they asked him to, you know, remain silent on that. However, that one I think is also related to where we come to the stairs in the woods. Now, I've heard many different stories about this sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
The stairs in the woods, these magical and or demonic things that just are, they're just there. There are these stairs. It's like one single flight of stairs usually. Although I don't know like how tall these stairs are, how many steps there are on them, but I think it may vary depending on where you are. Each time the stairs in the woods are involved, however, I've noticed that it always happens to be related to paranormal phenomena, disappearances, sightings, noises, etc. Just all kinds of weird, you know, gobbledygook that you don't want to mess with. And what I can say about that is that in Japan, there is a folklore, or dare I say, kind of like a local myth, where there are certain stairs that in schools, there are certain stairs that where you step on a certain step and you go missing. So some students purposefully avoid going on certain stairs or stepping on certain steps. To avoid that sort of thing. Now, I don't know if they have anything like that in terms of stairs in the middle of the woods, but that's the only stair-related reference that I have.
So, I want to backtrack 2 seconds to, what was his name, Bobby Bizzip. I found something, actually.
Okay.
People searched for 9 days, but they found no clues, and then 1 year later.
Oh.
Counselors found his hearing aid, bits of torn clothing, 2,000 feet up from on the side of the mountain. Search party had already searched that area at least 3 times the year before. None of his other remains have been found.
Okay, new theory.
Yeah.
What if he just ran away?
And then was, like, taken up by a mountain lion or something?
Perhaps. Maybe he thought, you know, if depending on the situation that he was in,
mm-hmm.
Maybe he preferred to leave it. When was this, by the way? Do you know what year?
Shoot. I just had it.
That would give me a lot of insight.
1958.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so there's no way.
Who's 10 years old?
There is no way.
Who's 10 years old?
Yeah. There is no way a 10-year-old in 1958, you said, is going to report to anybody that he's being, like, abused or assaulted.
Or bullied.
He is going to run away.
Yeah.
Especially if he thinks that he's going to survive. He is going to run away. And he is going to reason with himself that being out there in the wilderness is a better fate. And
he found that fate.
He found his fate at his own decision.
Peril. Yeah.
Hopefully he found peace. And that it wasn't like a crazy violent death, however he went. But it could have been illness if he if they found his hearing aids.
Yeah.
You know, like if he was someone that needed hearing aids. You know, you can imagine how easy it would be for a predator to get the drop on him. I mean, for mountain lions, they are ambush predators, and they will wait.
And he's a 10-year-old.
And he's a 10-year-old. Now, if he was like a teenager, he would have like a way better chance.
You know.
However, you also got to take into account medical conditions, especially for other missing 411 cases.
Yeah. Speaking of other missing 411 cases, before we get into stories about stairs in the woods.
Yeah, go on.
The story I was trying to look for, my information not be exact, so I'll just speak in the vaguest terms possible. I believe the name was Keith Parkins.
Oh, no, not Keith.
Have you heard of Keith Parkins?
No, but I'm just going to say no, not Keith.
He was 2 years old.
Oh, no.
His family went camping at a lake. I don't know where.
I'm blaming a catfish. Wherever this story's going.
No. Actually, let me see if I can find it. Keith Perkins.
In Japan, kids would go missing because of hellbender salamanders and giant catfish. Because, you know, little kids go playing by the pond, not knowing what they're going to step into. And the next thing you know, a creature with a big mouth just kind of just swallows them whole and drowns them. Eight.
Well, this kid didn't go missing.
Oh. He teleported.
He was... that one doesn't go into it. Okay, so from what I remember, he was found... They went camping.
Mm-hmm.
Where the dad, I believe it was another fishing incident where the dad turned around. The kid was not there. The kid went missing. Search parties were sent out. He was found around 8 to 12 miles away in the middle of a lake clinging to a tree. I believe they had found his shoe before on a rock, and that led him to the to the trail up the lake, but dogs weren't able to get the scent for him. He was in the middle of the lake, clinging to a tree, but the thing is, he was completely dry. He had no memory of what happened to him, and the only thing he said that led to that is that the cows chased him up there.
There were no cows in the
area. There were no cows in the area. But he kept saying, the cows chased me up here.
He probably heard a noise that was similar... Whoa. To what he would have imagined would have been like a cow.
I'm assuming that would be like an elk or something.
Probably a bear, maybe. if he's a toddler, he doesn't understand
probably.
The difference between a quadruped and another.
I mean, here's the thing. If you're
a very brown cow.
So I'm very detail finicky because, as you know, I'm an investigator. So
I can't give you any details.
You won't know how long the dad like turned around for. Was it like one of those? Instant, or was it?
I think it was an instant thing.
You think it was an instant thing?
Well, okay. So another story.
I have a theory. If it is,
all right.
So,
an eagle took him.
I literally was going to say that.
You're going to say an eagle?
An eagle.
Oh,
birds. I am telling you. Are so slept on as predators because
you're right.
They will literally snatch you. They will snatch your dog. They will snatch your cat.
Yeah.
There's
bats, owls, and eagles.
I've seen
the biggest things that can get you.
I've seen things. I've seen videos where eagles just like go after like small children, you know, and they try to like take them, you know.
Like a seagull.
A 2 year old, that's free. That's an easy dub.
That's free.
That's
real
an
estate.
Easy dub for the eagle.
Well, there was no nest.
Right.
It was just a tree in the middle of the lake.
Well, probably the eagle tried to pick him up and he was fighting back, which most small prey animals don't do or can't do effectively because they don't have, you know, arms.
No.
He probably just dropped him if that theory is held true.
Now, the thing is that he was presumably unharmed.
Yes, for the most part, he was unharmed. There was really no scratches on him. There's no real reason to denote that he had been attacked.
Right. Now, if an eagle, the only thing that would debunk that would be if an eagle did grab him, yeah, claws, would have dug into his skin.
And he would have screamed, and the dad would have seen, oh, there's my child with an eagle.
But you know what would have been way more... Now, depending on the time of day, would you know if this was day or night?
I believe it was day.
Okay. I was going to say, depending on time of day, it could have been an owl. Which would have been silent.
Yeah.
And also somewhat gentle.
Yeah, that's true.
Now...
Or a bat.
A bat would have...
Huge bat.
Where was this, by the way?
I don't know.
Oh. Well...
I do... Okay, so tools. I'm sorry. So I know... I can't find it. I thought I...
The one time I know bat geography, and I could have told you whether or not it was a fox bat.
That's the bat I'm thinking of. I don't think it was a fox bat, though. There is another story where a kid just went missing.
Right.
And it was at an actual, like, campground.
Okay.
He and his father were fishing.
Right.
Like, 150 feet from the campsite.
Okay.
The only way you wouldn't see so, the thing is, kid and his dad, they go fishing. They're at the bank. The
day or night?
Day.
Okay.
Kid's like, hey, I'm gonna use the restroom real quick or something. I'm gonna go back to the camp. I'm gonna change. Dad goes, okay. Dad follows him with his eye. He sees him in his line of sight. He watches him for 100 feet. It's only like the camp is only blocked by the embankment by a couple trees. The only reason you can't see directly into the campsite is because there's like one or two trees there that block the view. Otherwise, it is a actual like camping site where other people are around. He watches him. He sees him goes into the trees.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, all right. A couple minutes go by. He goes, well, he's taking a little bit long. 20 minutes go by. Okay, it shouldn't have taken them that long to do what he was going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Goes looking for him. He's gone. Nothing was found of him.
This was a case where completely gone, nothing
completely
was found.
Completely disappeared. The one theory is that somebody took him.
Kidnapped?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, if this is like a, was that like a, just a regular like public campsite?
This was a public campsite.
Okay, that's possible then. I mean, when was it? Like what year?
I don't know. Jules? I'm sorry.
Okay, now let's reason.
Some of these Reddit stories don't give me information.
Let's
other than
theorize that this happened like 10 years ago at least. That's still doable. Maybe, no, 20 years ago.
It was relatively recent.
Relatively recent. So within the last 15 years.
We'll say, yeah.
I would think it would be easier for someone to get away with snatching someone if it was in like the 80s.
Yeah.
But like, at least now, that's wild.
That's what a lot of people seem to have theories about these.
Now here's another. I have a couple other theories because I like to think outside the box here.
Okay, and then we'll go into stairs in the woods.
Sure. So my out of the box theories usually involve confounding variables. We don't know what was going on in that kid's life at that time. We don't know who the father was or if this is someone who was abusive.
Mm-hmm.
The kid could have just decided to run away.
Mm-hmm.
The kid may not even have been his actual kid. You know, like,
to begin with.
Confounding variables are what really make a mystery because you never know what the X factor is in why people go missing or how they go missing because it's usually the why. But when it comes to the kid who – the two-year-old who ended up on a tree or clinging to a tree in the middle of a lake. Now, was it like a small island?
No.
Was it like a fallen tree?
No. It was just a tree sticking out of the water.
Okay.
That's what was confusing.
Was there a foreseeable way for him to tread water?
No.
No.
And to be completely dry? None of them was wet. He was completely dry. That's why the bird theory is relatively the soundest thing you could make of it.
Because I have another idea.
Well, even if it was a mountain lion.
I have two ideas.
Okay.
So my first one is that...
Aliens.
This was... No. I'm trying to do non-paranormal things first.
Okay, that's fair.
So, and then I want Joe's opinion.
Yeah.
So...
Yeah, Joe, I want your opinion too.
In a non-paranormal way, I think this could have been like a Disney princess type scenario where...
14 birds can't...
No. I'm talking about if he really talked about a cow, I'm thinking maybe what if he actually got on top of a deer or an elk?
It just let him.
Yeah.
He's like.
Yeah. I mean, what if.
I mean, that's
fair.
What
if there was an animal that was somehow benevolent enough? And this may not have even been a deer or an elk. It could have been a completely different type of creature. It could have been something because we don't know geographically where this was.
Well, the thing is, he also said that it chased after him. It chased him up there.
Maybe what happened was it, like, chased him and then, like, got underneath him and then he ended up on top of it and it just ran out there into the water carrying him on top. And then he just got off on his Uber stop at the...
in the middle of the lake.
In the middle of the lake at the tree.
And somehow climbed up the tree.
Oh, he climbed up the tree?
He was a ways up the tree.
And he's two.
He's two.
Joe?
He's a two-year-old.
Well, I think that those types of missing 411s in which they are found are completely mysterious. I have no explanation for that. That's so crazy to me.
And for him to only say the cows were chasing me and I have no memory of anything else that happened.
And when it comes to missing persons, if you're not going to find them in the first 48 hours, I hate to say it, you're probably not going to find them at all.
Yeah.
And when you look at the cases of missing people...
Mm-hmm.
Like a map in the United States, and you also look at the map of cave systems.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to send
you
that in the group chat. They line up almost perfectly.
Oh, yeah.
I think a lot of those missing 411s in which people are not found, they kind of lose it in the isolation of the woods
and
wander into the caves or whatnot.
That is a whole thing.
And then die of exposure or predation, unfortunately.
I am telling you now, caves... are like the single like one they're like the one thing I stay the hell away from as like a human being. Now, I used to be terrified of sharks, volcanoes, quicksand, you know, like
used to have a fear of quicksand.
Those were my big three fears as a child. Now it's caves because I'm like, okay, hold on. I would love to go in one as long as it's like a tour and there's like already lights set up and I like to look around.
Yeah.
You know, I like exploring. But do you know how many cryptids are associated with caves?
Well, also think about the catacombs.
Oh, don't even get me started.
The catacombs in Paris are a huge thing. I mean,
and those are man-made.
Man-made with bones.
Yeah.
The walls are made of bones.
It's absolutely
unreal. That's frightening.
Unreal.
And that's also, that's horrible because that's so many desiccated corpses that were just like, oh, okay, well, Fred's going to be in this part of the wall and Genevieve's going to be over there in that part of the wall and Frank's going to be over there in that part of the wall. And
my point of it being man-made is if it was made by humans and it's still... very hard, if not impossible, to traverse. Think of how difficult it would be to traverse
a cave
made by millions and billions of years of natural processes.
There's going to be dead ends just for no reason.
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, there are people that when they go in the caves, they'll find, like, the one nook or the one little cranny that they can't get out of.
Or fall into the one hole that just happens to be just a slit in the earth.
Yep. And, I mean, I know a lot of people go missing in underwater caves. Because those are even more dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you screw up there, you know...
You can't back out.
You can't back out. There's no oxygen. You can't bank on anyone coming to find you. You know, people go missing in underwater caves a lot. And specifically those blue holes.
Talk about blue holes.
And, I love creepy blue holes. I love... those
Stop.
Deep,
no.
mysterious
Please.
Things.
Oh.
Cenotes. No. I like cenotes.
What's cenotes?
A cenote is like a It's kind of like it's like a small miniature blue hole.
Oh, okay.
But they're like in the middle of like the forest.
I'm sorry. What?
They're really cool.
They're what? They're in the middle of a forest?
Yeah. Usually,
I didn't come across that in my findings.
In South America, look up cenotes, they are all around like Mayan, Aztec temples.
How do you pronounce that? How do you spell that?
People thought that they were holy in back in the day.
C-E-N-O-T-E.
Oh, C-E-N-E-N.
They're pretty.
Beautiful.
I know. They're like blue holes, but like with they're like yossified blue holes.
They've got stairs, too.
Mm-hmm, some of them do.
There's stairs in the woods and blue holes. That's so, like everything that we're looking for.
What I do know about
It's in a cave.
What I do know about those is that some Mayans or Aztecs would perform lots of rituals there. And they they may have done some sacrifice, but some have even said people who've dove down into blue holes. First of all, there's no life in there. Also, funny thing, there's two different types of water in there.
Yeah.
Separated.
Mm-hmm.
Salt and fresh.
Mm-hmm.
It is not brackish.
Mm-hmm.
The bottom layer is salt and the top layer is fresh. There's also some caves, some cenotes, that have an overwhelming presence of crystals,
mm-hmm.
quartz,
mm-hmm.
and they believe that people have gone missing by swimming near those crystals and transversing the physical plane, going through like a wormhole.
I've heard,
I know that's really out there.
No,
but
going through the pictures, it reminded me of the one cenotes that I know about. Mm-hmm. I didn't realize that's what it was called. I knew of the one that was caused from a crater.
Mm-hmm.
That's the one that I know, is that the crater hit it,
right?
Created this hole, and then massive lush overgrowth happened around it.
Right.
And then it created this little blue hole in the ground. And I was like, wow, that's
And cool. Now, the difference between
that
and a blue hole is that blue holes are more or less, they are directly leading to underwater cave systems mm-hmm. that have even more blue holes. And et cetera. And people will get preyed upon by ghosts, by octopi, by shark, you know, pretty much everything.
Yeah.
So in terms of, like, missing 411.
Oh. I forgot.
What?
You We completely went on this tangent, and we need to...
Stairs?
Pull it back to the stairs, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I've seen stairs in the woods. I was hiking in New Hampshire, and I saw...
Did you go near them?
I did go. I got near them. I didn't go on them.
What did you sense anything off about them?
This is me. This is my skeptic brain.
Mm-hmm.
This is how I view things as a skeptical and scientific
mm-hmm.
mind.
Mm-hmm.
I was walking. You know, there was a path. I saw something in the distance that looked man-made, and I just wandered off the beaten path. Mm-hmm. Went in the woods for about not very far. I'd say like 200 feet. Like a few hundred meters, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw it. It was just a stone, or I guess concrete, set of stairs. It was like five stairs. Huh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Like you see in a building, like here.
Mm-hmm.
And it was covered in moss. Completely covered. It wasn't fresh at all. It was. It's been obvious that it was there for a very long time, mm-hmm. a few decades.
Was there any writing on it?
No writing.
No graffiti?
No, nothing.
There was grass leading up to it, though.
Yeah, it was in a forest, completely surrounded by forest. There was nothing...
There wasn't anything off about it.
Nothing.
Okay.
But what I do know, as a scientific person, that when you try to build a building and it doesn't work out, everything will erode
except for stairs.
Because those are made out of solid stone more often than not.
Yeah.
So probably there was a building there, or mm-hmm. at least some parts of a building. They decided, we're not going to do this. It's too far in the New Hampshire woods. They left it, and then everything that would survive storms and the natural processes would just be the stairs. It is creepy as hell, though.
So,
which brings me to another thing.
Oh, okay.
Which is very rich relating about ghosts
mm-hmm.
and how typically older things that have had spirits connected with them, you know, old houses that where people have died in. Theoretically, you could say if you find a set of stairs in the woods, who's to say that there wasn't like a house that was there, like, you know, a long time ago, people may have lived and died in, and the spirits and that are...
Spirits just, like, chill on the stairs, and when you come close, they're like...
You're just sitting there smoking a ghost cigarette, and...
Yep. Smoking a ghost cigarette.
Well, I don't think it's ghosts necessarily. I think it's the fact that most people are unnerved, including myself, when they see things that don't belong. You're in the woods and you see man-made structure, you're going to be hyper-focused. Oh, this doesn't belong here. It's an uncanny valley. You're going to hear a squirrel, like, climbing up a tree. Oh, that's a ghost. I got to get out of here.
Well, no, that's so that's the thing. So there is a lot of theories that it could be the remnants of houses that have been lost to the ways of history. Because you're right. The stairway is the most durable place in the house. But in terms of hearing squirrels or anything, most stories usually have are connected with as soon as you come within a certain distance of it. No growth will happen in a certain distance of it. Once you enter that distance, you will stop hear like birds and everything will stop moving except for the wind. You won't hear anything except for the wind and sometimes blood in your ears. And you'll just start getting a sense of overwhelming, just usually either fear or a sense of being watched. The closer you get, there have been cases of people, people have told these stories of being search and rescue of being search and rescue workers who have had cases of people like having unexplainable, like, medical curiosities happening to them.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any stories related to that?
Unfortunately, not this time. I do have plenty. But so cases of once you get into this area, you can't hear anything. You can't, like, see anything. You get this overwhelming dread, as well as there's quite a few cases, some photographed, where they're wooden staircases that are just perfectly pristine. They're in this small bubble that nothing will touch it. All the grass will die in a certain parameter of it.
It's just good weed killer.
Well, yeah, but that's weird, is that the grass grew, and then it died.
Oh.
It didn't, because you can't. Yeah.
Well, I have a quick question for you, okay. Then, real quick. Mm-hmm. Have there been any paranormal phenomenon besides either of those things you've just mentioned related to these stairs?
Yes.
What?
Just
like, have people gone missing?
Yes. People have gone missing. Search and rescue workers have reported. There's one really quick story of people who have were on a search and rescue mission. One of them split off from the group. One of them went near the stairs and stepped on the stairs. Felt nothing wrong because he heard these stories and was told, don't talk about these stories. Don't talk about the stairs in the woods. Because that's what they're all told. Don't talk about the stairs in the woods. And it's always like some sort of weird like conspiracy that the higher-ups will try to delegate and not – and like push down. But nobody talks about the stairs in the woods other than to say, don't go near them. Don't ever go near the stairs in the woods. So these people are off looking. They have dogs. They're looking. They have a trail. They're going in the opposite direction. These people go up the stairs. This guy goes up the stairs. He's alone. He goes up the stairs. Every step he takes, he's getting more and more. He's like – he starts realizing weirder and weirder things are happening. He gets on this top step, and it's just silent. And there's not even wind. And he starts feeling the hair on his arms and his neck start to raise.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I got to go back. So he gets back. He goes back down. Nothing happened as far as he knew.
Mm-hmm.
He meets up with the other people. And without even anything, one of the people goes, you went up the stairs, didn't you? And he goes, how'd you know? And he's like, we lost the trail. The dogs lost the trail about 10 minutes ago. Where have you been? Where did you go? You went up the stairs.
They think it's like a bad luck thing?
It's a bad luck thing. But it's multiple times have search and rescue officers have been like, we were on a trail. Someone went up the stairs. Someone touched the stairs. Something really bad happened.
Mm-hmm.
The person went missing. The person was found dead later on the stairs with all of their organs looking like Swiss cheese. But perfectly fine on the outside.
I have three theories.
Okay.
First one is that going up the stairs probably could be like a conditioned type of fear, where if you're told many different types of things about such things, you may feel inclined to feel dread upon actually doing that thing, kind of like waiting in line for a roller coaster. Whereas now, of course, that's way of dumbing it down. Of course, everything else could be chalked up to coincidence, or there is probably a secret axe murderer that is out there carefully watching
making,
these stairs.
Making stairs.
And very possessive over said stairs, and just decides, you know what, I'm going to...
Would be great bait.
Kill people that go on these stairs, or try to.
A person has been said to have touched the stairs in front of other people and immediately lost their hand.
Huh.
Poof.
One story was that a person saw them touch the top step and the hand went missing.
The hand went missing.
But the person started bleeding out.
Huh.
Like, as soon as they touched the step, because it was thought that as soon as you get to the top step, it's a portal. In that one case, there's another person who was said to have been seen, like, step and then be like, and then step off and then be like, that wasn't so, oh, I don't feel, oh, and then immediately had, like, an aneurysm.
So if they kept going, would they, like, lose their head if they, like, lean forward?
Possibly.
I would have risked it all.
But they immediately,
that sounds awesome.
They, like, immediately, like, stepped back and was like, I feel, oh, I don't feel, and then just passed out, and when they brought them back, they were dead.
Huh? How do you bring someone back and then die?
No, bring them back to the place.
Oh.
Back to where there's, like, doctors and stuff and, like, from the woods. But there's been multiple stories where as soon as you touch the stairs, your tracking will go – you won't be able to find them. They'll go missing. Or they'll appear later but dead.
I would wonder if it has some connection to ley lines.
I would assume so.
And if there's maybe a very, very small chance, one in a billion perhaps, of some kind of anomaly – related to space. Maybe there's a hole
like
right
a wormhole
in the atmosphere. Just narrow
shooting
enough
down
for like just gamma rays to come in and hit that one particular spot.
Well, you know, that just might be one of the powers that be. One of the powers that we'll have to discuss later of areas of power too.
Fair enough.
With ley lines. We can discuss that later. We'll discuss maybe some more stories as well.
Spooky stuff.
Well,
spooky, scary.
That being said, don't go out there and go, you know, do these stairs in the woods unless you're extremely curious. And if
I didn't
so,
touch them.
Make sure you record what you're doing.
Hey, and that's why you're safe.
Record what you're doing and send it to me.
I wish I went on.
Also, if you are going in the woods, make sure you bring a set of stairs with you or make the set of stairs yourself and
right.
Dress it up to look nice.
And if you're Japan, don't step on the fourth step.
Yeah, don't ever step.
Four is bad.
That being said, I am your host, Neil Nestor.
I'm Jules.
And I'm Joe Stairman.
And this is How to Cry Monster.
Stairmaster.
How to Stare Monster.